When's the book come out?
The book comes out, I think, on the 22nd of May.
Now, if people are dead keen to get into it and can't wait until it's released, what they can do is pop onto Amazon, and there are biographies of you on there, which have a face that looks a little bit like yours on the front. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say I think might have been AI generated, including content that is basically just a rehash of Wikipedia. How do you feel about those little beauties floating around?
Quite weird. And actually, I saw those. There's two of them that I have counted.
Yeah.
And yes, you're right. The cover is definitely AI generated. And I know because I have used AI to generate images of myself before for live shows and silly jokes and things. So I'm familiar with what AI thinks I look like. And AI basically thinks I'm about 10 years younger, quite a bit more handsome, with a more well-defined beard and a slimmer face. But it's not very accurate.
It's weird. And isn't it weird? It's weird.
And
isn't it?
Then, I mean, it's nice. It's like, thanks.
Adam Buxton, the biography, which I think was out in December. That's clearly the biography of a serial killer, isn't it?
I'd say it's sort of young Harold Shipman vibes from the cover, isn't there?
Good looking young Harold Shipman, though. And didn't murder nearly as many people.
Yeah.
But the text, as you say, seems to be. Well, at first I assumed it was, because I bought a copy, probably one of the only five copies they've actually sold,
Oh, brilliant.
And I read it, and first of all, it seemed to be just a sort of mashup of, Wikipedia entries and interviews or whatever. But then I started realizing that actually it wasn't. It was all subtly different. It wasn't actual quotes at all, really. Some of the facts were right. The biographical facts were accurate. But when it came to quotes and things like that, none of them were things that I'd actually said. They were all sort of the kinds of things that I might say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a lot of it was putting myself down, like self-deprecating stuff with me kind of saying, well, I think the podcast is designed for idiots and prisoners and people with too much time on their hands. You know what I mean? Like I might joke in that way about my own stuff. I certainly have done in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
But the way that they do it in the AI book makes it sound like someone's doing a parody of me, like they're actually taking the piss out of me for being a stupid prick. And it's like, this is the kind of thing that stupid prick Adam Buxton would say, and him sort of insincerely putting himself down. Let's do a spoof of that. And if you read it with that in your head, it's kind of a very accurate, very pointed parody.
Are you saying this is a good book?
Well, honestly, I'm confessing this to you. I'll probably talk about this a fair bit over the next month. But this is the first time I've spoken about it. An exciting exclusive, which I imagine will make the front page of all the papers. But the first time I read that spoof book, or no, it's not a spoof book. It's a supposedly real AI generated, whatever it is. I got it in my head like, this is not AI generated. This is written by someone that hates me. And they are putting out a series of sort of takedowns of people disguised as AI-generated knockoffs. But actually what they are is sort of brilliant parodies of dicks. A bit like the kind of thing you might read in Private Eye. You know, they do, Craig Brown does these very good parody diary pieces that spoof the voice of a writer or whoever. And I thought, this is a little bit like a Craig Brown takedown. And then I phoned up my agent and I was like, look, I don't know if you know, but someone's written these books and I don't think that they are AI generated. I think they're written by someone that hates me. And I don't mind them selling them. That's fine. Go for your life. Everyone's got to earn a buck. But I wonder if we could just ask them to make it clear that it's a parody and it's not accurate. And my agent said, I think you've gone mad.
Yeah. Maybe it was like getting you back for all those spoofs and parodies you did in the Adam and Joe book.
Honestly, it crossed my mind. But then I had a perspective bath. And
There's a lot of them out there for various different people.
The timing of it suggests exploitation of your imminent book release as well, doesn't it, to be fair?
Oh, it's just great, isn't it? I wonder if the person who did the AI thing, it'd be great if they could find out that you actually bought a copy of it. in a way, wouldn't it? Like, kind of.
I did think about leaving a positive review, but then.
I hope you signed your copy with a fake signature.
My goodwill didn't stretch that far.
No, quite right. Yeah. At least the title of the other one was actually quite complimentary, wasn't it? It was Adam Buxton, The Art of Being Ridiculous But Brilliant.
Yeah, that was the more offensive one. The Art of Being Ridiculous But Brilliant is the larger of the two. And that's the one that goes more in depth with the made up quotes.
Right.
The other one is just like 4 pages or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Paragraph chapters. Yeah.
The cover on that other one is much nicer, isn't it?
I'm sexier on that one, the black one.
The black one, you look like a murderer.
but a sexy murderer.
The other one, you look like a cross between probably you and Christian Slater, maybe?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, chaps, excuse me, but I've drunk several teas on the go, and that is causing some problems in the Netherlands, so I just need to go and...
Oh, wow, we've never had anyone take a wee break. That's brilliant. John, I think that's a cue for you to write a song to insert into the wee
let's
break.
Do that.
I expect you to improvise a wee-wee song while I'm gone.
After too much tea to drinkle, you might need a tiny tinkle. But remember to utilise your brain and finkle, so you don't spray the room with sprinkle. Even if your wee is little, why not turn around and sittle? Also handy if you need a little, you know what? Gosh, this ditty is just the epitome of whittle. The same applies to reaching, writing glory. Keep your sentences nice and sanitary. If you don't, you risk your writing being poory. And I've managed to link weeing back to story.
Ah, oh, beautiful. That was incredible.
Good work. That was fast.
Thanks very much.
Well, you've got to be fast in that situation, haven't you? Otherwise, people would think you've gone for a poo.
Yeah, that would have been a different song, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Let's talk about how you found the writing of the book. Are you one of those people who will happily just force yourself to sit down and write? Because like reading between the lines, certainly the first one, it seemed like it didn't necessarily come super easy. And it did take 5 years. But what's your talk us through your process.
The process?
Yeah.
I suppose to begin with, it's like going through all my notes, all the things I've saved over the years on my computer and my notebooks, and going, is this anything? To quote Seinfeld, could this be turned into something? Here's a little thing I wrote for a magazine. I wonder if there's something in that. So you're basically pulling everything together that might yield something that could be expanded. And actually, that turns out to be usually useless, like all those things.
Collecting all the funnies and then going, oh, that doesn't really work as a through line.
No. And the other part of that process is going through diaries and going through journals. And I keep a semi-regular journal. So it's like total immersion in the past, in the period that you're writing about.
Is that something you enjoy going back in? So, or is it quite stressful?
It's really stressful.
Right.
And I don't even know how useful it is a lot of the time. Like, I wonder how different the book would be if I just didn't do that part of the process at all. Because there's not that many details, but it feels like I've got to do it. It feels like due diligence, you know.
Yeah, almost that you need to remind yourself of the background to tell the story on top of it.
Just because you're so aware of how fallible memory can be.
Yeah.
And I have a kind of vague impression of bits of my past that if I actually check them specifically against journal entries, is often totally different. Like, I can kind of characterize whole periods of my life as being really difficult and painful. And when I look back, it's like, oh yeah, that was fun. And I was having a good time, but it was maybe one or two things I was a little worried about. But in my memory, those have blossomed and overwhelmed the general impression. Anyway, so that's part one of the process, is immersion. And that never really quite goes away. There's always moments when I'm checking one fact about, like, when did we do the second series of the Adam and Joe show? And did we do the street artists thing in the second series, or was it the first? And I go back and check, and then I end up having to watch one of the tapes, because I've got all the tapes of all the rushes of all the shows that we ever made. So I go back and load the tape, and then it'll be like, oh, I can't play the tape on this camera. It's not playing it back. So then I end up buying a new mini DV deck to play the tapes and digitize the tapes. and then I will go down a 3-month digitizing rabbit hole. Saying,
like, 3 weeks later, you go, oh, yeah, no, that wasn't important.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Exactly.
I wonder why these things take 5 years. It's difficult to work out why.
I mean, that's
it?
Part. It is part of the book. I talk about the fact that in 2020, after my mother died, I embarked on this digitizing spree and going through all the photographs that she left behind, thousands and thousands of snaps and slides and prints and all sorts of and negatives. I bought a negative scanner and started scanning all these fucking negatives and getting involved with that process of time traveling that was so seductive, especially when you're grieving.
Yeah,
want so badly to go back and escape from the pain of the present. And then the possibility that you might discover new bits of the past via images that you've never seen before, wanting to reconnect with her so badly and feeling as if you might be able to do it via these photos. If I just scan enough negatives, then I'll find some part of her that makes me feel that we're reconnected. But, you know, it's frequently fruitless, boring, and painful as well. Like when you find good photos, they hurt really badly. And then my wife would just come and find me looking all sad, scanning negatives and going, what are you doing with your life? Your children are in the house. You know, they're young still. Your life is still going on. Why you've got to pull out of this nosedive into the past. And that made sense. But I also said, well, I've got to write this book. And I couldn't just dump them in the bin, which is what my wife was suggesting I should do.
Wow.
Do you think some of that helped the grieving process? Or do you think you'd just end up in a, you know, down a rabbit hole?
I don't know. I mean, I think it depends who you talk to. I think there are some people who say that it's not very helpful to do that sort of thing. It's a bit like ruminating to an unhelpful degree. But then I did have some therapy around that time. And the person I was speaking to then said that you should sit with uncomfortable and unhappy feelings and memories. And you should see them through to their conclusion. Mm. Rather than blocking them off or shutting them down and realize that by the end of it, you're okay. So I suppose there might have been some beneficial effects, but there were also many times, I'm sure, when I should have just shut the computer off and got on with my life.
So how much journaling do you actually do then? You were saying before that you journal...
Yeah, it's sort of infrequent.
Yeah, infrequently, yeah. Are there big gaps in that or... Have you always done a bit as you've gone along throughout your life?
Yeah, there's quite a few bits of my life that are there in diary or journal form. There's chunks that have gone because they just got lost. Like I left a diary with really detailed, tiny bits of writing in rotaring pen for every single day. And that was about 3 years or something in the mid-90s that I just left on a plane when me and Joe went to LA to shoot some stuff. No. It's like, ah, fuck, that was a bit of a wrench. But the rest of it I've got. And yeah, there are chunks like sometimes there's sort of a month or two missing. But usually, and especially for the last 8 years or something, it's pretty thorough.
Yeah.
But the other thing now is that in the digital universe, if I wanted to, I could more or less reconstruct every second of every day because I've got the calendar.
Yeah.
I've got emails. There's so many ways that you can go back and figure out what was happening. And so that was another way that I would... go down rabbit holes is like I would save all my answering machine messages when I used to have an answering machine. I've got tapes and tapes of all these fucking answering machine messages, which because I was at art school at the time, I would just do things like that because I thought, well, maybe, who knows, maybe it'll be useful for something.
Yeah. How honest do you think you are in your writing about yourself? Do you have a scale of honesty of some things that just don't need mentioning or kind of... I'll put a little bit of a spin on that, or are you brutally honest?
I mean, I feel as if I'm being as honest as I can be. There are things that I wrote that my editor said, you just don't need that because it's a bummer.
Too honest.
Yeah, and it's a bummer. You know what I mean? Like sometimes it's not the sadness because there's sad bits in there. It's yeah. just like you don't need to share that with people reading your book. You know what I mean?
It's sort of too open, almost.
Too open, too sort of unhelpfully like, what do I do about this? You know, sort of just yelping rather than trying to make sense of things. And I think the most valuable stuff and the most worthwhile stuff to read is people organizing their thoughts rather than just going, ah! I mean, yeah, I'm trying to be honest. And I think the other thing is that you could read between the lines a lot of the time. And the truth is definitely in there if you're looking for it.
Mm.